So tonight's reading will come from Matthew 7, verse 13. You can find this on page 972 in the Church Bible. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
If you've been with us over the last few weeks, we've been working through this Sermon on the Mount towards the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, a sermon that Jesus preaches. And as we come to the last section, the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus finishes by challenging people as to what is their response to him and everything that he has said. How are we going to respond to what he has to say? And I wonder if you notice, as Josh read the passage out to us, that as Jesus challenges us to how we respond, his challenge comes with a number of warnings. All the way through, there are warnings for us to hear loud and clear. Now, each and every day, I would reckon that we will see and hear warnings about different things. Sometimes we'll see the warnings and we know we need to listen to it and take heed of it. Other times I wonder that we read it and we maybe choose to ignore it or we don't want to listen to it. Sometimes there may be warnings that we read and we wonder if there's even a need for those kind of warnings. I had some fun this week searching on the internet for some warnings that are probably pretty unnecessary. I found a few. I have been hearing this evening, little murmurs from a newborn. There's expectant mothers, newborn, new mothers amongst us. So here's a warning that comes with a buggy. Caution, remove child before folding, just in case. Any new mothers or expectant mothers aren't sure, before you fold your buggy, make sure you take your baby out. Or maybe in the room this evening, we have pet lovers. I found one that spoke about if your pet is ill, what to do or what not to do when you give your pet medication. So I found this one. Warning, may cause drowsiness. Use care when operating a car. So for any pet lovers here, I don't know that when your pet is fit and well, maybe you allow them to drive you home or around the place. But if you use this medicine, don't let them drive your car, apparently. But maybe there's warnings that you see around and about, and you read them and you think, it kind of just feels like it's spoiling my fun a little bit. Here was a warning that I saw, that every time I saw it, my heart kind of sank when I was a younger lad. No ball games. I just see that, and even now I can feel like my mind goes back. I'm walking around with my football, just trying to find space to play football, and you see this, and you think it's just out to spoil my fun. In the passage this evening, Jesus gives us a number of warnings. And I wonder what your response is when you hear these warnings. Warnings that we need to listen to and take heed? Warnings that you'd prefer to ignore? Maybe even for you, you feel like the warnings Jesus gives are just out to spoil our fun. Maybe you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, but you've been coming along and you've been looking into and hearing about different Christian things. And as you hear some of the things that Jesus teaches, you think, isn't he just out to spoil my fun? And so you hear these warnings, you think, do I really need to listen? Or maybe you're here and you've been a Christian for many, many years, and you've heard lots that Jesus has to say. And yet, maybe some of these warnings, we just need to make sure we listen up. Jesus says these warnings are worth listening to. These warnings show us what a genuine response to him is. We're going to see four things this evening. The passage nicely breaks into four chunks. Normally, there's meant to be 3 points to a talk, apparently. But I've gone with four. So if you're making notes on the back of the notice sheet, just make sure you're spacing it out equally for 4 points. Here we go. Four warnings, four dangers we see. The danger of choosing the easy path. The danger of false teaching. The danger of only using your lips. And the danger of only using your ears. Let's look at the first one then, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus warns us about the danger of choosing the easy path. Jesus starts by, if you like, taking us for a walk in the countryside. And as he does so, do you notice what he calls us to right at the start in the first sentence in verse 13? He calls us to enter through the narrow gates. Jesus straight away divides and says, those who choose to follow me will follow me by entering through the narrow gates compared to those who reject me, who enter through the wide gates. And so he shows us here two alternative routes. And I wonder if you notice just in these two verses, these two sentences, the four ways that Jesus shows this contrast. Maybe you're more of a visual learner, and so let's map them out on the screen as we go through them. First, he says, there are different gates. There are different gates. One is wide, we're told. It's easy to get on this road. No restriction, nothing to stop us. It's a wide gate. And yet the other is small. Not necessarily the easiest choice to enter through. And different gates, Jesus says, leads to different roads. One is broad, we're told. This word, it means easy or spacious or roomy. It gives the impression of a kind of nice, gentle stroll in the countryside. An easy journey. Lots and lots of room to accommodate lots of people and lots of views and lots of different ideas of how the route goes. One writer described it like this. He says, there's plenty of room on it for the diversity of opinions and laxity of morals. It's the road of tolerance and permissiveness. It has no curbs, no boundaries of either thought or conduct. The broad way. And then the other way is narrow. This word literally means hard. The boundaries are clearly marked. It needs a real perseverance to keep on going through this narrow, hard road. And different roads, did you notice, lead to different destinations. One, we're told, leads to destruction. It's a horrible image, isn't it? Of people taking the nice, easy, gentle stroll without realizing that this easy road leads to destruction. Whereas the other leads to life. It's the complete opposite, isn't it? Even though this road is hard, there is wonderful reward at the end of it. It's life, it's the goodness of life. It talks about the wonderful quality of life that every Christian can enjoy, not just now, but forever, enjoying God and all the goodnesses that come from him. Different road, different gates, different roads, different destinations. And finally, it has different crowds. One has many. It's attractive. It's easy to get in. It's easy to travel on. Easy to choose. Easy to go on. Whereas the other has few. You see, if it's less attractive to enter in and if it's harder to travel on, well, it kind of goes that fewer people will choose to go on it. Jesus shows us the contrast in the response to him. The contrast of those who respond to follow him versus the contrast of those who choose not to follow him. And so the warning is there. The warning for those who choose to follow him, to trust him, for Christians, that following Jesus won't be easy. It will mean taking hard choices, potentially sticking out, following what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says it won't be the popular choice. It's not following the crowd. Few will choose to take it. And sadly, maybe you know this full well. We can see that around us, can't we? Maybe you know that you're maybe the only Christian in your workplace or on your street or maybe even in your family. But Jesus says, even though it's hard for the Christian, it's worth it. Because the warning's clear, there is one road that leads to destruction, but the hard road leads to life. Which do you choose? And you notice in Jesus' picture of the walk down the countryside, there is no proverbial fence to sit on. There are only two gates, two roads, two crowds, with two destinations. The danger of choosing the easy path. And then second, Jesus shows us in the next section the danger of false teaching. Jesus challenges us over who we're listening to. And he tells us we need to be active listeners. And as we listen, we need to be seeing too. Do you see the warning that Jesus gives? Verse 15, watch out for false prophets. Jesus says that there will be false prophets. It's, if you like, there is no point putting a beware of the dog sign up on your front door if all you've got inside is a goldfish. Jesus is saying, look, watch out, because it's a reality. We see it in the Old Testament, the reality of false prophets. We see it and are warned of it in the New Testament. We've sadly seen the reality of it in church history. And we sadly see the reality of it today. Prophets are those who came from God with a message from him to be shared and said to God's people. And today I think it's fair to apply this to any teaching or preaching that we might hear. And it's worth noting here that as Jesus says there is false teaching, and so by implication says there is true teaching. For Jesus, there is no kind of pluralism, no kind of, look, what's true for you might be false for me, or what's true for me might be false for you, and kind of anything goes. Now, do you see, Jesus says clearly there is false teaching, and there is true teaching. And do you notice what Jesus says about these false prophets, these false teachers? They can be deceitful, and they can be devastating. They're deceitful, verse 15. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. The wolf is the enemy of the sheep. It's the shepherd's job to protect the sheep, to look after them, to keep them away from the wolf. And here they come as wolves, but dressed in sheep's clothing. At first appearance, they might look like a follower of Jesus. Maybe a good leader, a good preacher, a good teacher. And yet, Jesus warns that beneath the wool, well, it's a completely different picture. They're deceitful. And they're devastating. Jesus says they're not sheep, they're wolves. And they've not come to kind of cuddle the sheep to sleep. Do you notice the word used at the end of verse 15? Ferocious. They've come to destroy. Wolves can have devastating consequences. And so Jesus says, watch out. How can we spot a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing? Well, two areas I think Jesus points to. He points to their teaching. Prophets will have taught the things of God, the things from God. And so teachers today should be teaching the things of God, the things from God. And the best way we know that is from his word, the Bible. Jesus later in verse 24, he speaks of listening to his words. Jesus effectively puts his words on a par with the God of the universe. And so we need to ask the question, is someone opening up God's word and showing us what God is saying, what Jesus is saying? Or do they take what Jesus is saying and just simply ignore it? Or maybe they take it and they twist it, or they subtly change it. Here at St. Mary's, we long to be a church that is word-shaped. We long to be a church that opens the Bible and see what God has to say, what Jesus has to say. And so we all need to be active listeners. But sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes we hear something and we think, look, it sounds right. It sounds like the right thing from the Bible. And so Jesus then says, look, you can see from their lifestyle. You'll be able to see it over time. Do you notice twice he says, verse 16 and verse 20, by their fruit you will recognize them. He says you'll see it in their character and their conduct. And so Jesus gives this picture of good trees giving good fruit and bad trees giving bad fruit. And look, of course, everyone makes mistakes. We need to be careful not just to kind of jump on the first mistake and identify them as a false teacher. But I think Jesus is saying, keep watching. If there's a regularity to it, if there's a lack of acknowledgement or repentance of wrongdoing, or trying to excuse or justify it, watch out over time. It's not just one bad apple from the tree, but whole fruits from a bad tree. It's maybe as Paul in Galatians picks up on the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that a Christian believer has as the work of the Spirit works in them. And so highlights things like gentleness and kindness and self-control and patience. It's maybe hearing someone that preaches that other people should be showing this, but doesn't seem to be showing it themselves. And look, as I was reading these verses this week, preparing for today, these are challenging verses for me to read. Will I always make sure, will any person here who teaches make sure that we are always teaching what God says, what Jesus says? But also a challenge for all of us. Will we be active listeners? The danger of false teaching. And then Jesus moves on to the third little section, and he challenges us, warns us about the danger of only using our lips. And these may be pretty scary verses for some. Maybe you've read them before or you hear them now and they scare you and make you ask questions. Is this me? Could this be me? And so it's worth having a closer look at them and to remember the context that these verses fall in. The context of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus has been preaching. If you've been with us as we've journeyed through it, you'll maybe remember that throughout, Jesus has made a distinction between those who are following him and others. In chapter 6, he especially highlights the hypocrites in their giving, in their praying, in their fasting. Hypocrites who say one thing with their lips and yet do something different with their lives, or do something for show to impress others. And that is the person Jesus is warning here. The person who in verse 21 says, Lord, Lord, and yet isn't doing, at the end of verse 21, the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's the person who hears the devastating words of verse 23. I never knew you, away from me. It's faith that just involved their lips, but didn't affect their life. And so the challenge from Jesus is that a true response to him, well, it doesn't just involve what we say with our lips to declare Jesus as Lord, but it's to let everything that Jesus says affect and transform and shape our lives as well. And look, it's important to highlight as we hear verses like these that Jesus is clear, the New Testament is so, so clear that we are only saved by grace alone. It is only faith that saves us, a trust in what Jesus has done for us that saves us. But Jesus shows here, and the reformers in church history tells us, they use this phrase, that we are saved by faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. What they're saying is clear, look, we are only saved by faith alone. It's only trust in Jesus that saves us. But a trust in Jesus isn't the only thing that happens after that. That a trust in Jesus results in and results in a transformed life. It shapes the way that we live our lives. Jesus is saying, how will we respond to him? If we say we trust in him, will we obey him with our lives and not just say it with our lips? The danger of only using your lips. And if the danger of verses 21 to 23 is the challenge of only using our lips, now in verses 24 to 27, it's the danger of only using our ears. Jesus started for us in the countryside, and now Jesus takes us into the construction industry. And you see the words, how Jesus starts it in verse 24. He challenges us to hear these words of him and put them into practice. Again, Jesus challenges us about the importance of our response to him. And so he tells us the famous parable of the wise and foolish builders. Two builders, both of them building a house, both of them experiencing a storm, and yet very different results. And we all know how it goes, don't we? The wise man built his house upon the rocks. And so it goes on. As I was practicing my sermon yesterday to my two daughters, we sang this song and over. They get a fun life with me. And yet it shows the two very different results. Verse 25. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. And verse 27, same words, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And yet yesterday, as we were singing it through for the fifth time and our little Bethany was getting excited with the actions, I realized that actually the song never tells us why Jesus told that story. Now, this morning when I mentioned that, the only feedback I got to my sermon was that there is a chorus which does tell us why Jesus told the song. I've never sung that chorus before. We were thinking of whether that should be the song we sing after the sermon. But seeing as I can't find the chorus, it only tells us about two builders who build a house. But why does Jesus tell us the story? Because both builders hear the words of Jesus, verse 24 and verse 26. The difference lies in whether they do anything about it. One hears the words and puts it into practice, builds on solid foundation. The other hears and doesn't let them shape their actions, builds on sands. And so when the storms come, whether that be the tough times that we can face in our lives, or whether that be the final judgment that has been referred to and Jesus has referred to a number of times in this section, the question is, where is our foundation? Because it's no good just saying we've heard about Jesus, but have we put our trust in him? Have we let his words affect and shape who we are and how we live? We need to listen to Jesus. But don't just let that build up your knowledge, just knowing the Bible. We need to put his words into action. We need to do the Bible. So the message of Jesus is the foundation of our lives. Only this will keep us standing firm through the storms that we might go through. Knowing that Jesus loves us and he cares for us and that he is in control. And so putting his words into action. And so as we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, who records this for us, sums it up, if you like, in verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. We're left thinking, as the crowds would have been left thinking, who is this man? They're amazed. Verse 28. He has incredible authority. Verse 29. He judges, we're told, verse 23. His words are on a par with God of the universe. Verse 24. Look, there'll be many warnings that we see every day through life. Some we listen to, some we laugh at. Some we think are just out to spoil our fun. And so when it comes to Jesus and his warnings, will we listen to him? If you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, as you hear what Jesus has to say, will you listen to him? And will you accept him? Or if you're here and you'd call yourself a Christian, are you, like the crowds, amazed by him? And do you accept his authority and so obey him? Because he gives teaching that it's not just to be admired, but to be obeyed. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for Jesus and all that he has spoken and taught us. Please help us to hear, but not just hear. Please help us to acknowledge with our lips that Jesus is Lord, but not just speak. Please help us to put into practice, into action, what Jesus calls us to do, so that it shapes all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.